Hey, this is Thomas Jetmore, and this is my commentary on Paul Beatty's The White Boy Shuffle, pages 223 to 226. I chose this passage because I just think it had a great deal of material on it and would be a very good starting point in any sort of dialogue about this novel. I want to start out by talking about the beginning of the passage that I read and sort of what's going on with this self-mutilation. There's no obvious answer for why he cuts off his finger that's presented here, though the word masochistic is used when he says, the distraught minions interpreted my masochistic act as sincerity, the media as lunacy. My sense here is that it doesn't seem like the minions or the media gets it just right. It's not sincere or lunatic. I think part of the reason he cuts his finger off could be related to masochistic tendencies. There is a pattern of masochism throughout the novel, such as when Gunner is in the sporting goods store and tries to befriend these boys who he thinks will beat him, and they, of course, summarily beat him. But that's an issue I think we can talk about more in class. I think the main reason that he is cutting his finger off is it's a subdued form of martyrdom. It certainly isn't like full martyrdom where he's not willing to die for it, but he is enduring harm due to the cause, so to speak. Why does he do this? I think one of the reasons is that he doesn't want to be at the head of this giant social movement. He even says, the more I tried to deny my ascendancy, the more beloved I became. And I think he thought that through this sort of martyrdom, he would be able to end his role as the leader of these people. I think the idea of being forced to be what you don't want to be is throughout the novel the whole time. You look at Scobie, and he didn't necessarily want all this fame and want to be such an amazing basketball player, but I believe he says something made him continue going. And perhaps that contributed to his suicide, and that's another thing we can talk about in class. I think the idea of other people, their perceptions or their expectations forcing you to be someone that you don't really want to be are at the root of the race struggles in the book. And I think some imagery sort of hints at it here when he says that the blood that didn't pool in his armpit puddled next to my sneakers. I mean, throughout the book, it's kind of white people are evaluating his athleticism and sort of his role in white society for a while is as an athlete. And the sneakers are a symbol of this. And the blood next to the sneakers is almost saying that it hurts him to be pushed into this identity. I mean, he never really has passion for basketball. I want to talk about the father's suicide for a second and sort of what led up to it. And I think the poem really elucidates this, so let me just really quickly read it again. Like the good Reverend King, I too have a dream, but when I wake up, I forget it and remember I'm running late for work. So I think you look at the father as this powerful figure and that he's an LAPD police officer, and, you know, he carries a gun and all this stuff. But this job sort of makes his identity into a reflection of white society. You look in the novel and he's having to repress the people rising up because of the Rodney King riots. You can imagine in him waking up on the day of the riots and disagreeing with what happened to Rodney King, but having to forget all of this when he goes to work because he has to do his job and stop these riots. So I think he realizes a little that his existence is hypocritical and maybe counterproductive to any dreams of racial equality, and kills himself. And I think this raises some interesting ideas that we can go over in class, such as, how can you exist in white society and not betray your African-American heritage in some way? And is there a way to coexist? One final thing I want to talk about is just the solution that this book proposes to racism. And one interpretation of this solution is that just you might as well kill yourself because it's a useless battle to fight against this white racism and that the racism will win all the time. And while I think this is a valid interpretation, it's very unsatisfying to me. And what I really like about this passage is he sort of goes through a list of things that just don't work, like no organizations, no donations, no grassroots mobilization subcommittee, anything that doesn't work. We're not going to put down other religions to make ourselves feel better. And then it cuts to this great, just nice little family setting where it's mostly I stay at home, Suite 206, the La Cienega Motor Lodge and Laundromat, bathing Naomi while Yoshiko and my mother watch Zaitoichi movies. It's almost like suggesting that the way to fight racism is just not be bothered by it. Just be happy and have a nice family, and you've beaten racism by just being successful. So, this podcast is at 5 minutes. There's tons more I could talk about, and I'll just save it until tomorrow. Just want to leave you guys with one last question, which is how does the comedy of the book seem to fight racism in sort of an indirect way? All right, well, thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.